Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. To your fellow children of God, evaluate these following scenarios, and what would you rather be told? You ask your parents for something, and would you rather be told by your parents, you have to get a job, earn a paycheck, and pay for it yourself? Or would you rather be told by your parents, here, we bought you this as a gift? Would you rather be told by your employers, do this and don't do that, and deep down you know you're going to fail, you're going to mess up? Or would you rather be told, everything has been done for you, you don't have to do anything? Would you rather be told by the judge that you are declared guilty for the crimes and the wrongs that you have done? Or would you rather be told by the judge that you are declared not guilty? Certainly, we would all choose the second option. We would like to hear that something is given as a gift, that everything is done, that we are declared not guilty. And that is essentially the message of the gospel. The gospel is the good news that tells us that our salvation is a free gift given by God. The gospel is the good news that Christ has done everything for our salvation. We don't have to do anything. The gospel tells us that because of Christ, we are declared not guilty of our sins. This is why, as Christians, we cherish and love the gospel. But the gospel is not the only teaching of the Bible. There is also the teaching of the law that tells us what we are to do and what we are not to do. But does that mean that we are to view the law as something that is harmful or sinful or evil for us? Well, absolutely not. As we heard in these words from Deuteronomy chapter 4, we are to observe and cherish the law. But why would we even consider observing and cherishing the law? Well, to understand all of this and to answer those questions, we need to understand the three purposes of the law. The first purpose of the law is that God has given his law to serve as a curb to restrain people from doing what is wrong. Imagine if we lived in a world where there is no law, no punishment for committing crimes, and everyone could do what they wanted. That type of world would be a world of chaos, a world of fear. And so God in his wisdom has given the law to prevent people from doing these things. Does that mean that people will perfectly follow the law? Well, no, of course not. Not even we as Christians perfectly obey God's law and the laws of our own country. And the reason for that is because we are sinners. And that's the second purpose of the law. The second purpose of the law is to serve as a mirror to show our reflection of just how sinful we are. Think of the account that we heard from Jesus dealing with the Pharisees. The Pharisees thought that it's what's outside of a man that makes a person unclean before God and corrupts him. But Jesus said to the Pharisees, nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Here we see how the law reflects our sinful nature. For we can look at all these things that Jesus mentions, these evil things that come out of our hearts, and we know that we're guilty of them. But just like the fool that we heard from James, the fool that looks into the mirror, then immediately walks away and forgets what he looks like, we can foolishly look at our own reflection in the mirror of God's law walk away and immediately forget just how sinful we are. We may foolishly forget that because we don't want to see the reality of our sinful nature. We would rather prefer to look at all the good things that we have done, trying to convince ourselves, I'm really not that bad. But go ahead and boil down all of God's commandments into the two basic categories. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Do we perfectly love the Lord our God with our whole heart, soul, and mind? No, we don't. For if we did, we would never disobey God. We would always put Him first, and we would always observe and cherish His law perfectly. But it's our sinful nature that ignores God and what He has to say, and instead we focus on ourselves and what we want to do. Do we perfectly love our neighbor as ourselves? No, we don't. For if we do, we would always look out for their good. We would always help them. We would always love them. And yet, because of our sinful nature, we are so kindless and selfish and uncaring. We don't keep God's law perfectly. But why does this matter? Who cares if we're not perfect? Because at the end of the day, no one else is. It matters because God says so. God demands perfection in order to be saved. And through the law, we realize that we are not perfect and that we cannot save ourselves. But this is where the gospel comes in. Although the law convicts us of sin and shows us our need for a Savior, it is the gospel that comforts us and shows us that we do have a Savior. The gospel reveals Jesus Christ, who is perfect on our behalf. He loved the Lord his God with his whole heart, soul, and mind, and obey all of God's commandments. He loved his neighbor as himself, for he was not selfish and kindless and uncaring, but he cared for others and loved them. And the ultimate example of Christ's perfect love is found on the cross. There on the cross, we see God's perfect love for God because God demanded Christ to sacrifice himself, and Christ obeyed that command. And we see Christ's perfect love for others, that he would willingly sacrifice himself to remove all sins from us. This is Christ's perfect love. And it's through the gospel that we are saved. It is through the gospel that brings us to faith. But now, does that mean, as Christians, we no longer need the law since we know about the gospel? This brings us to the third purpose of the law. Although the gospel comforts us, but the gospel also empowers us to follow the law. The law serves as a guide for our lives. And it's only when we understand all of this that we can begin to observe and cherish these words from Deuteronomy 4. Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. When these words were spoken, the Israelites were about to enter into the promised land. Over 400 years ago, God promised to Abraham and his descendants that he would give them this promised land of Canaan. And now that day has finally come. But does that mean that as they enter into the promised land, that God's laws and his commands no longer apply to them? No. Rather, Moses is telling them to continue to observe and cherish the law because by doing so, the Lord would bless them in the land that they were inheriting. So how does this apply to us? It's not like God has promised to us and our descendants this promised land of Canaan. What God has promised to us is the ultimate promised land of heaven. That is ours through faith in Christ. But now he has given us the law to keep us on the straight and narrow path that leads to heaven. Psalm 1 puts it like this. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. Whatever he does prospers. As we observe and cherish the law, the Lord will bless us. He doesn't bless us because we observe and cherish the law. But rather, as we observe and cherish the law, we are showing our love for God who graciously blesses us. And this doesn't mean that we won't have suffering and sorrow in life. This doesn't mean that God will give us great riches and wealth. But what it does mean that God gives us peace. He gives us peace that he knows what we do for him and he will remember them on the last day. He gives us peace, assuring us that what we do for him is not in vain. And so this is one reason why we observe and cherish the law, because God promises to bless us in what we do. But there is another reason why we observe and cherish the law. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. God's word is complete. God's word is all sufficient. God's word is all that we need for salvation and for our godly living. So then why would people add or subtract from God's word? People, including us, may add to God's word just to prove that we are holier than thou. We may add our own commands to God's law to show just how great of a people we are. That's exactly the trap the Pharisees fell into that Jesus had to correct them. For he said to them, "You worship me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. You follow laws that are only taught by men." And why would people subtract from God's law? People, including us, may subtract from God's law because, once again, they don't want to see the reality of how sinful they are. Therefore, if they remove those laws that they disobey and they keep the others, it once again justifies themselves in their own eyes. And that's what our sinful nature wants to do. Our sinful nature wants to shift the focus away from God and put it upon us and what we do. But that's our sinful nature. Through the gospel, God has created the new man in us. And the new man observes and cherishes all of God's word. Yes, by nature, we don't like to have our sins exposed. We don't like to be told that what we are doing is wrong. We don't like to be told that we cannot save ourselves. But the new man appreciates what God has to say to us in his word, so that we can see the seriousness of our sins, so that we can put our faith in Christ as our only Savior, and so that we will turn to God in repentance. We observe and cherish all that God has said to us, because all of his word is sufficient in all that we need. But observing and cherishing the law doesn't just benefit us. It goes on to say, observe these laws carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. The benefit for observing and cherishing the law is also for others. The Israelites were going to be living in a land that was surrounded by nations that were so perverse and wicked. But God gave the Israelites the law so that they would stick out to these nations and they would give praise simply because of how the Israelites were living their lives. Ultimately, this was done with the hope of bringing these people to faith in God and following the commands that God had given. We too live in a perverse and wicked world and a perverse and wicked nation. But what God had planned for the Israelites, He has planned for us as well. As Jesus once famously said, "Let your light shine so that men may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." As we observe and cherish the law, we will stick out to people. As we observe and cherish the law, we are doing only what is good for our neighbor. As we observe and cherish the law, possibly they too may be brought to faith in our Heavenly Father and join with us in giving Him praise. And it's not just unbelievers who receive this benefit. But as we observe and cherish the law, it benefits our spouse, our parents, our children, our brothers and sisters, other family members and friends, to encourage them to follow the laws that God has given us. We observe and cherish the law because it benefits and helps others. And finally, there is one more reason why we observe and cherish the law. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? No other religion, with all of their gods, which are truly no gods at all, has what we have. No other religion has received the righteous laws and decrees that our God has given to us. God Himself on Mount Sinai wrote down these laws and handed them down to us to follow. No other religion with their gods has a God that has done what our God has. Our God gave up His one and only Son to save us from our sins. Every other religion teaches that you have to do something to save yourself. No other religion has a God who is so near to us. As soon as we pray to God, He is there with us, listening and answering to our prayers. As we repent our sins before God, He is near to us and graciously pardons our sins. As we pray to God to help us to observe and cherish His law, our God is near us. In fact, He lives in us to do what pleases Him. This is why we observe and cherish the law, because God Himself gave us the law and He is so near to us. And so, dear fellow children of God, let us never view the law as if it is something harmful to us. But let us observe and cherish the law. We observe and cherish the law because the law has been given by the Lord Himself. The law serves as a curb to prevent people from doing evil. The law serves as a mirror to expose our sins, and it's the gospel that comforts us with the Savior. It's the law that guides us down the straight and narrow path that eventually leads to heaven. And so we observe and cherish the law because as we do so, the Lord will bless us. We observe and cherish the law because God's word is all sufficient for us. We observe and cherish the law because it not only benefits ourselves, but also benefits others. And we observe and cherish the law because our God is so near to us. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.